It's been a headline feeding frenzy. Is Jeb Bush down after his bruising in Boulder? Well, today Jeb Bush tweeted, "I have a proven record of achieving conservative reforms, and I'm taking that message to Iowa, New Hampshire, and beyond."
He should have said to infinity and beyond. It would have resonated. Then there's Chris Christie. He had a good debate this week, but today the New York Times says he should leave the race. And of course, last weekend he was asked to leave a train's quiet car because of a loud Slurpee.
Gosh, well, imagine what would have happened if our barbershop quartet had been in there.
Here and now, 2016.
Well, that can only mean that it's time for our politics roundtable. Kay Henderson is news director of Radio Iowa, and she joins us from Des Moines. Hi there, Kay.
Good day.
And Sergio Bustos is national political writer for the Associated Press based in Miami. Sergio, welcome.
Thank you.
And to both of you, we have news. We are just hearing today that the Republican National Committee has told NBC, which is hosting the debate in February, that they're not, that the debate is off because NBC is parent company to CNBC and Republicans did not like the way that debate went. Kate, weigh in.
Well, I think you're hearing from Republicans here in Iowa and elsewhere that they were very unhappy with the questions that were asked. In an era in which there's a level of incivility, I hear Republicans saying the moderators were uncivil to our candidates. And so I think you're seeing that reflected in today's decision.
Well, not only that, I mean, they're taking this and running with it. We know it came up in the debates. And here's on Fox News last night, Ted Cruz railing against what he called liberal moderators beating up Republicans and not Democrats in the debates.
Let's have a debate that's actually useful. So, for example, last night I suggested, how about having a debate moderated by Sean Hannity and Mark Levin and Rush Limbaugh? Now, I think Republican primary voters would really like to see that. Those are strong, rock-ribbed conservatives. They're going to be voting in a Republican primary.
Sergio, you weigh in on this, because with some critics, some people looking at all of this are saying, well, with a couple of exceptions, maybe John Harwood should not have used the word cartoon to describe Donald Trump. But otherwise, these were good questions.
I'm not sure I agree with that. It was a comic book reference he made.
That's what it was, right.
And there were other suggestions the other panelists have made, too. I think the questions to me, at least as a journalist, were a little bit like going down a certain road, and you knew there was only, you know, they're pretty loaded, if you will. You know, Ted Cruz took away some of my thunder there. I was going to say that on Sean Hannity, you know, he suggested those three. Look, at the end of the day, these debates are going to be about ratings for these television networks. Boy, Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, and Sean Hannity, I think it'd be pretty entertaining to have them all up there. And I wouldn't put it past the RNC to maybe propose it. National Review, the conservative magazine, supposed to be on that that was supposed to be on that NBC.
CNBC, yeah.
Panel, mm-hmm. CNBC, on mm-hmm. the NBC panel that they canceled.
Right. Oh, the one they canceled. Okay.
Yeah. And National Review, I think, is still going to be part of it, according to what the RNC said.
Well, aides for the Republican candidates are apparently planning a debate insurrection on Sunday. They want to meet again with the RNC to talk about different debate formats for the next debate, the one that's November 10th. That's on Fox Business Network. And, Kay, just before we move from here, I mean, you know, things like this become important as campaigns go along. Is this, you know, Republican candidates flexing some of their big ratings muscle?
Exactly. It's sort of like the athletes at Northwestern University saying we should be paid for all the attention that is focused on the football program at the NAACP level. The candidates know that they're getting huge ratings in this campaign season, and they feel that they're responsible for that. People tuning in, and so they want a piece of the action.
Mm. Well, let's talk a little bit about the fallout from what happened on CNBC. I mean, the pundits are saying Marco Rubio, winner of the week, Jeb Bush, loser of the week. I mean, David Brooks, even in the New York Times, said that Bush campaigns like it's 1956.
Gosh.
I mean, and here's what Bush said yesterday in response while in New Hampshire about his campaign.
It's not on life support. We have the most money. We have the greatest organization. We're doing fine.
Sergio, how is all that resonating in Florida, both for Bush and Marco Rubio?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it certainly is a candidate in crisis, if you will. You know, Bush's continue to campaign, or he had been, on his very stellar Florida record. He was a two-term governor, popular for the most part, and did a really good job here. And he's trying to translate that onto the campaign stump, and it's just not resonating. I think one of the issues with him when he goes outside of Florida is he rattles off a lot of numbers, and I don't think people are looking for numbers. Mm. They're looking for a narrative. And that's why you see candidates like Ted Cruz and dare I say, the protege, Marco Rubio, doing quite well.
But you even have Peggy
definitely
Noonan.
Definitely done, life support is what he said.
You even have Peggy Noonan of the Wall Street Journal writing about him in the past tense. Kay?
One of the things I think that the Bush campaign miscalculated is they thought that after 8 years of President Obama, and in what Republicans were arguing, a presidency that happened and a president who had to be trained on the job, that voters would be looking for somebody with experience. That's not what's happening in the Republican electorate this year. They're looking for somebody who is angry, just as angry as they are about the situation of being out of office as a Republican Party for 8 years, and they're looking for somebody who will shake things up. The idea, and then the Bush campaign is presenting itself in a commercial here in Iowa as someone who's a competent manager. That's not what voters are looking for. They're looking for someone to take up their cause and take it to the Democrats.
Well, increasingly they're looking at Ben Carson. We know he's been surging in the polls. Yesterday he called out the CNBC debate moderators for asking him what he said were gotcha questions about Manitech. This is the supplement company which has been accused of deceptive advertising. I thought this was a good question. They've paid him for speeches, put him on their website, but here's what he had to say.
The questions about Manitech are definitely gotcha questions. They can easily go back and find out that I don't have any formal relationships with Manitech. They can easily find out that any videos that were done were not paid videos, were things that I truly believed and thought about. That is easy to do.
Well, Sergio Bustos, they are going and finding these videos and seeing him all over the website, even though he said he did not have a relationship with them. Your thoughts about how he's handling this?
It's what's fascinating about this race this year is any gaffe like that, and Dr. Carson's had several along with Donald Trump, it just doesn't seem to matter in this election. I've been pretty amazed at some of the things that have come out of both of those candidates' mouths, but it doesn't seem to hurt them. Even this week, even the first two debates, these first three debates, I don't see people changing their mind as much with Trump or Carson, although the polls are showing that people are maybe willing to change their mind. But right now, I just don't think these gaffes really affect these guys that much. Maybe as we get closer and closer to Iowa, it will.
Well, so you mentioned Donald Trump there. I mean, he is slipping in the polls in Iowa, and early this week he appealed, some even say begged. I mean, is this an abashed Donald Trump? Let's listen to what he's telling Iowa voters.
Iowa, will you get your numbers up, please?
So, Kay, what's going on there with Trump in Iowa?
Well, I've been covering Mr. Trump since he actually entered the race, and this is the kind of way he talks when he speaks to large crowds. In fact, in July, he made the same sort of plea to Iowans. He criticized Scott Walker and said, Iowa, please make me number one. So this is nothing new in the terms of tone of the Trump campaign. What is new is to find out how he handles it. And I think we may look back on this debate and see that he was a much more moderated campaigner in this debate, a candidate who didn't be as bombastic. He only criticized one of his competitors, Mr. Kasich, on the stage during the debate.
Well, let's take a quick look at the Democratic side. Hillary Clinton this week talked about capital punishment. She's not in favor of abolishing it because there are certain egregious cases. That gave Bernie Sanders the opportunity to jump in and position himself further to the left of her, saying the death penalty should be abolished. Sergio, your thoughts?
That race, I guess Bernie Sanders is almost like the Donald Trump of the Democratic side, but he's also shown, he's fading, and Hillary has certainly got a bump. Miss Clinton was down here in Fort Lauderdale, and I got to say, she had a pretty passionate, raucous crowd in a gymnasium here that, after covering Trump the following week, you know, pretty rivaled that spirit and enthusiasm. I mean, I think it's going to be tough to overcome kind of the momentum she's building right now. But again, only time will tell.
Well, staying with the Democrats, the YouTube comedy channel Bad Lip Reading, just in time for the weekend, has released their interpretation of the last debate. Let's listen to just, I mean, this is the kind of thing that it just alleviates any pain that these debates are causing. Here's their thinking of what Martin O'Malley was saying as Hillary Clinton was looking on.
Governor O'Malley, during birth, how do babies exit the mother's body?
I believe that most come, I would say, that there was a way that they move from the interior to the up into the uvula. Can I help you? I don't like how she stares. It's super creepy, and I think I can say where babies came from without you blinking at me. I'm serious. You need to stop, okay?
We will post it at hereandnow.org. Kay Henderson, news director of Radio Iowa. Sergio Bustos, national political writer for the Associated Press. You have to laugh, right?
Indeed.
Indeed.
Bizarre, bizarre.
Have a great weekend, everybody.